Welcome to Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brentz, and I am joined by Ray Kuhn. How are you doing today, Ray?
I am good. We get to talk about the team that my Astros beat in the World Series last year, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Is this a team that's going to go back to the World Series this year, or do you think they kind of fall off? Because, they haven't been in the World Series in forever, and last year they had a really special team. Obviously, they don't have Darvish back this year, but he didn't really help him in the World Series anyway. What would you say this team is able to get to this year? Are they a World Series or bust team?
I mean, I think the fan base in the front office might think that. I think they're a good bet to make the playoffs again, or at least be competitive again in that division. Wouldn't surprise me to see them in the World Series again. I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to be my pick to get there. I mean, they need to have some things go right. You have to have Bellinger, Seager take the next steps, and a few other guys continue to step up. But Kershaw to stay healthy, the rest of the rotation to stay healthy. Maybe they get Darvish back. There's some things that need to happen, but I think at the very least they're a playoff contender.
Yeah, I really think I think they're a good chance to be and a good playoff contender. Why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter?
I am on Twitter at Ray_Kuhn_28. What about you, Ben?
I can be reached at BBrennisFWFB. Why don't we jump right in? We're going to start with the outfield. And, you know, the outfield can be a little disappointing because as of right now, Roster Resource has it as Peterson, Taylor, and Puig. They don't have Matt Kemp as a projected starter at this current time. But what are your thoughts on Peterson?
All right, so Peterson, first thing that comes to my mind with him is all or nothing. He had 323 plate appearances, hit 11 home runs last year. We know he has power. The problem is he swings and misses way too much. He's one of those guys that he's 25, so he's getting to the point where it's not necessarily okay anymore for him to be a developing kind of speculative guy. He has to take that potential and turn it into that as a finished product. And that's not the case when you have someone hitting 212 as he did last year. Granted, he did get on base, he did walk, he had a 331 on base percentage, but and we saw his contact rate go from 68% to 75% last year, so that's a good thing. There was some bad luck involved. He had a 22% hit rate. That's gonna go up. But again, I'm not sure he's ever going to hit more than 240 or 250. And then it's going to come down to how much regular playing time does he get? How does he do against lefties? And how many home runs is he truly capable of? And to me, he's not necessarily a player that I'm going to bank on for 2018. And then, as you mentioned, the presence of Kemp. Right now, Peterson is listed as a starter with Kemp being the fourth outfielder. Again, this is going under the caveat that they don't trade Kemp at some point because that trade was really just more of a salary dump to clear up some space. Who knows what they're going to end up doing with luxury tax, if they're going to end up re-signing Darvish or not. So let's just assume for now that Kemp is going to be on the team. It wouldn't shock me to see there be a Peterson-Kemp platoon with Peterson being the lefty on the right side of that platoon. But we also kind of have to adjust our expectations of Kemp. Well, yeah, he's still a solid player. He's definitely not the Matt Kemp that we saw the first time he was on the Dodgers.
If we see the Matt Kemp that used to be on the Dodgers, I think you're going to get a steal in drafts. So,
yeah, unfortunately, I don't think that's possible.
No. I mean, last year he had a disappointing year, but he's still better than you know, Peterson to me. Peterson just doesn't hit the ball well enough. I understand he's got power, but he can't hit the ball. And I don't want to play you if you can't hit the ball, because in a roto league, you're just going to kill my average. You're not going to have as many home runs as someone like Joey Gallo, who also can't hit the ball. So I don't see a point in drafting someone like Peterson. Kemp, I'd be more willing to draft, but it's like you said, there's a decent chance that he's traded. I don't know where to, but he could easily get moved. So, on a side note, how many more years does Kemp have on the deal?
I think it might just be maybe one or two more. I think maybe one or two more years.
Maybe he gets moved for Braun.
That could be interesting. Braun gets back to California. And before we move on in the outfield, two more notes. Peterson, obviously, I talked about the power, that's his biggest attribute. But he traded some fly balls for ground balls last year. So, I mean, while that might help the batting average, it's not good for his biggest selling point, which is the power. And as far as Kemp, he's going the other way. Fly ball rate last year went from 40 to 28%, and he's up to 49% ground balls, and he doesn't exactly have speed. So that kind of limits his value for me as well. And these are two players I'm staying away from. And if we move over in the outfield, go over to center field, to me, Chris Taylor is one of the more divisive players of 2018 because a lot of people are high on him. A lot of people are taking him in drafts where I'm quite frankly not comfortable taking him. What's your take on Taylor?
My take on Taylor is that he could have a season like last year. Is it likely? Probably not. Would I be disappointed if he hit 14 home runs and got 14 steals and hit a .275 average? No. I mean, it's not exactly what you're paying for in the draft, but at the same point in time, there's absolutely no way that I feel that I can get the same type of value that I had on him last year. Now, that being said, I haven't projected as my 31st overall outfielder, so I'm basically right on par with where everyone else is. I'm right on where the staff average is, even, but I'm really not banking on him to necessarily be able to give me the value. That's me banking on him hitting that same four-day hit last year, and he kind of came out of nowhere. So we'll see if he's actually able to replicate anything that he did last year, because I expect a decrease in those stats.
You know, I do. I mean, the one stat that I do like for him is the stolen bases. He stole 17 last year. I think that is the one that he has the best chance of at least repeating. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to improve on that. He hit 21 homers. I think a decent part of that was we've seen it a lot with hitters that he worked on the loft angle, changing his approach, going for more power. He didn't do it at the expense of his batting average. He hit .288 last year. He had a .361 BABIP last year, so we can expect to see his batting average go down. He did struggle a little bit more in the second half. He's not a 20-20 player to me. Maybe he's a 15-20 player if he gets regular playing time. He's versatile. He can play at second base as well. You want to say the guy hits .260 with 15 homers, 20 RBI, 20 stolen bases? Yeah, there's some value there, but I feel like he's still 27 years old. He struggled up to this point last year. He kind of burst onto the scene, did well. He hit some home runs in bunches. I'm not sure how willing I am to expect a repeat next year.
Yeah, it's tough to expect a repeat from someone who hasn't really done it. And that's what people who draft him will find out this year. You know, if he made a good or bad draft pick. So, what about someone like Yasiel Puig, who is very tantalizing player? He can hit close to 30 home runs. He can steal 15 plus bases, but the consistency and the drive for him to be great isn't always there. There always seems to be something with Puig. I think I would prefer to not take him. I haven't owned him ever since he's been in the bigs, and I don't really have a huge desire to make that happen as of now. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, as somebody that watched a lot of Dodgers games, I mean, I watched a lot more when Vin Scully was still around on the East Coast. It was nice after Mets played, after the Astros played, after most of the other games were over, to check in on Scully, check in on the Dodgers. Puig is an exciting player to watch as somebody that you have zero investment in. But if you're invested in him either as a Dodger fan or a fantasy owner, guy's going to be frustrating. We know he's talented. We know he plays hard, but he doesn't always play hard in the right way. Sometimes he's overenthusiastic and it kind of backfires on him. Makes you scratch your head a little bit. He hit 28 homers last year, drove in 74 runs. There was a stretch of time where he's batting lower in the batting order. This year they're going to count on him to be more of a middle of the batting order guy. And I think he could be a solid option. 11% walk rate, 80% contact rate. I wish he would get the 48% ground ball rate down a little bit. Maybe he's more of a 22 to 25 homer guy than a 28 homer guy. 263 is probably around where we could expect to see his batting average. I think he's a solid contributor, but just don't – he's not going to be the star that maybe people thought he would be a few years ago.
Yeah, for me, and let me just make a correction on this. I was actually – I actually have Taylor ranked as my 26th outfielder. I was looking at the incorrect tab.
Yeah, that's a little high for me, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, it's five spots higher than where I had said I had him. So, you know, it's a little bit higher, but at the same point in time, you know, to get that type of production, you're going to have him ranked higher. I don't expect to take him there, but at the same point in time, I do have him ranked there because if he hits that four, that's where I project him to be. For Yasiel Puig, I have him ranked as my 33rd outfielder, so I'm higher on him than other people. He's someone else who I don't expect to be there when I'm drafting, just because I think people will overestimate his value more than what I'm expecting it to be, and I'm just not okay with that. So,
exactly. There's certain guys that, for whatever reason, have buzz, and those are often the guys that I stay away from.
Exactly. Why don't we move on to the infield, and we're going to be talking about Justin Turner at third base. Turner is someone who is also an underrated third baseman. What are your thoughts on him? Because he provides you good average, he can get you steals, he'll still have power, and he'll get you counting stats. So,
all right, first things first. As somebody that follows the Mets, living in New York, my wife's a Mets fan, one of the things that I love to harp on when I'm kind of making fun of the Mets or showing my frustration with the Mets is the fact that they let Justin Turner get away for nothing. He's one of those guys that's just a lot of fun to watch. I actually just traded for him in one dynasty league. I gave up Luis Castillo for Turner because I was looking to add a little more power. And Turner, at age 33, is obviously not the same player he was 5 years ago. Towards the end of his Mets tenure, he kind of changed his swing with the help of Marlon Byrd, added a little more pop, a little more loft to the swing. And he clearly didn't sacrifice batting average for it. He hit .322 last year. Contact rate went from 81 to 88%. He hit 21 home runs. Yeah, he's not necessarily going to be a true 30 home run hitter. He's more in the low to mid 20s. 11% walk rate. He's another guy that if I don't get a Machado, if I don't get an Arenado, if I don't get a Donaldson, I'm perfectly content waiting, hanging back, and taking Turner.
Yeah, I like Turner. I liked him when he was on the Mets, but he wasn't the same player, just like Daniel Murphy wasn't. You know, it's the Mets curse, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like
everyone does better when they leave.
Matt Harvey leaves and then goes back to being a top 10 pitcher.
That's what I've been saying that for I've been saying that for the last year or two.
It's frustrating. Yeah. Very frustrating. But anyway, Justin Turner is someone who's consistent, and that consistency is very, very helpful. He's going to hit in the heart of the lineup, which you love, and you can't ask for anything more. When your number three hitter is able to hit .322, and yeah, he had a little bit down year in terms of power last year, but he's going to be able to knock in runs. I wouldn't be surprised if he had 90 RBIs this year with 20 home runs and 80 runs scored. So that's what I'm hoping to have with Justin Turner. I think that Turner is going to be someone who's a very, very solid player. I have him ranked as a top 10 third baseman for me.
It's him here.
And that's low. I have him actually ranked as my top 10 or as my 10th. And that's me just being low on him and being high on someone like a Sano who, you know, could or could not be a top 10 guy being really, really high on Devers. So I could easily have him as high as a 7 or 8. So that's how much I like Justin Turner.
Yeah, he's definitely someone that makes a case for waiting a little bit at third base.
What about Corey Seager? Is he going to return to the MVP status?
All right, Seager, if you look at Seager, He's young. He's 23. He has skills. He's a top prospect. He has a track record. It's a small track record, but, I mean, he's done nothing but produce at the major league level. But he's just one of those guys that has, there's a ton of buzz around Seager. And, again, I feel like he's somebody that is going to be taken before I'm comfortable taking in second, third rounds of most drafts, is at the point where I'm not ready to pull the trigger on Seager. Borderline 300 hitter. He has the plate skills with the 25% line drive rate last year. The hard contact is there. Everything is leading. He had 22 homers last year. Everything is leading to him all of a sudden switch flips, and he gets up to 30, 35 homers. Whether or not it happens this year, whether or not it ever happens, I'm not 100% sure. I think it can happen. But he doesn't run. I'm just not sure. I don't necessarily want to call it just hype with Seager, because I think he's a very, very good shortstop, and he's obviously in my top, say, 5 to 7 options at the position, but I feel like he's just going off the board before I'm willing to take him, because I think as a second or a third round pick, I want to see more. I want to see proven power more than 22 homers. I want to see him prove it. And he's not giving me any stolen bases, so I want to see a little bit more there.
Yeah, I would like to see him be able to return to that MVP status, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone would, but it really just depends if he's able to get those stolen bases up. Because if he can get 15 stolen bases, which he's totally capable of, and hitting 310.
It'll make a difference.
Yeah, it'll make a huge difference. Because last year, I felt it was a down year. I mean, if you look at all of these players in terms of their stats last year, the only person who even had more than 80 RBIs that's still on the team is Cody Bellinger. So everyone had a quote-unquote down year in terms of their run production. I think he could be a 95 guy, 25 home runs, you know, 10 stolen bases and a 305 average. That will be someone who's well worth the draft pick. I have him as my 4th-ranked shortstop just because I'm not sure if those stolen bases come back this year, but I believe that if there's someone who's going to do it on this team, it's him.
Yeah, I mean, there was the back injury towards the end of last season. He missed one of the playoff series. So, I mean, I know my opinion is not a popular one on Bellinger, but again, he's just one of those guys that's I'm probably not going to end up owning in any leagues because he's going to go a little before I'm comfortable taking him.
Why don't we move over to second base, where there is literally no one playing this year?
I mean, I guess that's the way you can look at Logan Forsyth. I mean, if you're really into these things, he's eligible at third base as well. He hit .224 last year and only 6 homers and 439 plate appearances. The best thing we can say about him is that his walk rate went from 8 to 16%. Struggles against right-handed pitching. There's a little bit of a track record there. Did deal with some injuries last year. He's somebody that in just about all leagues I am staying away from, as there's not really too much upside. Even if he is healthy, he's not going to get much more than 15 home runs. And we'll move over to first base, where we have a ton of upside and a ton of buzz with Cody Bellinger. Is he going to repeat his Rookie of the Year season from last year?
Well, before I get into Bellinger, in terms of Forsyth, I think that Forsyth, while he had a horrifically terrible year last year, and I understand injuries come into play, but I think if there's going to be someone in this lineup that's able to replicate their value and bring it up maybe double what it was last year, I think Forsyth is the clear and easy choice, because everyone else could take a slight step up. I don't see anyone having a really, really big jump from last year's production to this year outside of Logan Forsyth. And that's because Forsyth last year was someone who players wanted to draft. He was someone who they felt was going to be a good, solid contributor last year, and he happened to be hurt, and I understand that. But I think that if Forsyth hit 15 home runs with 65, 70 RBIs maybe, and hit like 265, I wouldn't be surprised. And that would be a decent utility/middle infield player that could even be a bench guy. But he's able to play both second and third, so you can at least use him in certain types of league, depending on the depth.
All right, yeah, I'll buy that. He's just not—he's not going to be somebody I'm targeting. But I mean, again, if you want to keep an eye on him for early season pickups, yeah, you can do that.
As for Bellinger, I don't know exactly what's going to happen this year. If you heard me at all last year talking to Chuck Anderson on our weekly show, I'm not sure if he's going to have that same power that he had this year, or they had last year. Chuck thinks that he's potentially capable of 45 to 50 home runs, I believe, unless he's changed his stance. I would be happy if he was to hit 30 again. Obviously, players that come into their second year, they can always do something different. You know, you see it in every single sport. You'll have a rookie who has a great year, and then their second year, they struggle in certain things. You know, look at what happened with Peterson. He had a great first half of his first rookie year and then struggled because he wasn't able to adapt. I think Bellinger is a better player than that. I think Bellinger is able to adapt. You've seen him be able to adapt. But at the same point in time, if he hits 250 and you see that slight drop-off in the average and he doesn't have as many home runs, he's going to be a disappointment in terms of draft value. So at that same point in time, I kind of want to avoid him because I understand that he's capable of doing all this, and he did it in 480 at-bats last year. But at the same point in time, if there is any type of decrease, you're taking all the upside out by where you're drafting him. So
yeah, no, I agree. All the upside for Bellinger is gone this year. He's not really going to hit much more than 260 or 270. He had 267 last year. And then the other question is, can he repeat the 25% home run to fly ball rate? My money is on that he's not. The 39 home runs last year, obviously, as you said, came in like 500 at-bats. So if he's playing every day and he gets up to 600 at-bats, obviously there's clear 40 home run potential there. But if he takes a step back, adds more at-bats, he's more in the 30 to 35 home run range. And then since the batting average isn't an asset, it's not a liability, it's kind of just there. I mean, again, he's still at the top of my list. Maybe overall he comes close to repeating what he did last year, but I think you have to watch out a little bit of the buzz as far as overdrafting him.
Yeah, you don't want to ever go and overdraft someone, and that's kind of what you're going to have to do with Bellinger this year because of how much hype and what he's capable of doing. And, you know, having someone like Judge and Stanton last year, he wasn't even one of the top. He wasn't even the top home run hitter, considering in terms of power, where people talked about and so on and so forth. But you know, he's going to get drafted high this year. And as much as I may love someone like Bellinger because he's able to play the outfield, he's able to play first base. He's still someone that I have to worry about, and I have him ranked as my fifth first baseman this year, and I'm very high on him. Basically, everyone else seems to be have him ranked as a fifth outfielder, fifth first baseman as well, because they understand what he's able to do. But at that same point in time, I may want someone like Rhys Hoskins, who's going to go later and could do something very similar in terms of what he's able to, in terms of his numbers this year. You know, you could grab someone like a Carlos Santana, even, who may do something very similar. So he probably won't have as many stolen bases, but at the same point in time, in terms of the power and the counting stats, he may have very similar stats, and you'll be able to get him a lot later in drafts. So it really just depends. Are you willing to pay that high for him to hit that ceiling? Because you're not really getting anything else if he hits a lower floor than what is expected.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, I think, of where the Bellinger hype is, I have him in the keeper league. I have him as a $2 keeper going into next year. Contract less. It's just for the 1 year, so I have him at $2 for 2018. I got a trade offer the other day. It was my $2 Bellinger, and in return I was getting an $11 Justin Turner, an $11 Andrew Benintendi, and a $2 Marwin Gonzalez.
I feel like you almost have to, depending on what your money situation is, because if you're in a tough money situation and you don't have a lot of flexibility, then taking that deal may not necessarily provide you much because he's going to give you significant value over those guys. But exactly. At the same point in time, you have to figure out what are you doing with that extra $22. Are you going to be able to get two players that are able to match all three of them up in terms of consistency? with what you're bringing to the value? I probably not. So it really just depends on the money situation.
Yeah, I kind of have it sitting there right now. You keep seven, and I'm keeping Blackman at 38, Springer at 28, and Kluber at 33, and Luis Castillo at 2. So those would probably be my last three. So yeah, it would obviously limit my flexibility, but I mean, again, Benintendi is also another one of those players that has a ton of hype.
Exactly. He really does have a ton of hype. Why don't we move into the catchers, and we have Austin Barnes and Yasmani Grandal. What are you expecting from them this year, and are both catchers actually players who could get drafted in deeper leagues?
I think so. Grandal is currently slated as a backup. Again, it's up for debate whether they're going to trade him or not. He's a big power threat. He lost out to Barnes in the second half of last year, and it looks like Barnes is entering the season as a starter. Grandal is really an all-or-nothing kind of guy. If he plays, he's going to get you home runs, but he's not going to do much better than 240 or 250, and that's about it. So in this situation, you kind of have to follow the playing time. Right now, that does lead to Barnes. But Barnes is also eligible at second base, which is interesting to see a catcher eligible somewhere else. It's not first base. And Barnes is also another player where the hype machine is kind of going on. He could steal 10 bases. There's minimal power. He hit 289, so the batting average is there, which sets him apart from the majority of the other catchers. So he's a solid guy, but he's also someone I'm not running out to get unless the price is right.
I mean, yeah, for me, it's going to be tough because I'm not someone who likes to go and spend on a catcher. And as of right now, I still have Grandal pegged as my 13th overall catcher. And I have Barnes as my 18th. So I'm higher on Grandal than I am on Barnes. And that's just because I feel that the power upside with Barnes may not necessarily be there. I mean, yeah, he could still hit you 15 home runs. But at the same point in time, Grandal still will hit you 22 if he gets those 400 at-bats. Or at least 17 plus. And if you're going to hit 17 plus as a catcher and you hit 250, I'm still willing to take it. So
no, I agree. But it really the problem right now is playing time.
Exactly. Oh, and we don't know exactly how that playing time is going to be split. So it makes it a little tough, which is why I'd rather avoid both, even though I'm still looking at these guys in a deeper league in terms of a one catcher position.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Grandal could have – of the two, Grandal might have more value because he's going later because people are higher on Barnes and expecting Barnes to start.
Exactly. Why don't we move over to the pitching side of things where you have the best pitcher in baseball, Rich Hill.
As long as those blisters are under control.
Those blisters, maybe he could just wear gloves while he's pitching. You know, that's the best way for him to not get a blister. It's also a great way for him to not get a strikeout. So,
I mean, the thing with Hill is that we just have to go into it assuming that 150 innings is the over-under and he's probably going to hit the under.
Even if he does that, he still had a great year last year. I mean, he had 135 and two-thirds innings. He had 166 strikeouts, 12 wins, a 3.32 ERA, and a 109 whip. So you can't argue with the results when he's healthy. This is what I was saying last year. You go and you expect him to not be healthy, and you find someone who is a little healthier that may not have as much upside as him, but you can pair them together, and they make two really good starters combined. That's what you're hoping with Rich Hill, that he's healthy enough to get you 135-plus innings. Yep. He's going to get you 150 strikeouts. He's going to get you 10-plus wins, and he's going to have a sub-350 ERA.
So. Yeah, the ratios are going to be there. The run support's going to be there. I mean, obviously, the age is an issue. The blisters are an issue. So you have to plan on him not pitching a lot. And the one other thing that concerns me is that his ground ball rate went from 45 to 37% last year. So that's just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want this ball going into the outfield because I'm not a big fan of the outfield defense all the time. I mean, yeah. You have solid defenders in Taylor, Peterson, and Puig, but at the same point in time, if Matt Kemp goes out into the outfield, defense dramatically drops. And, you know, you're good with pitch framing from Yosemite Grandal, and Austin Barnes is still a good defensive catcher. So there's a lot of different players that can go well, but you want to see that ground ball rate come up that 10% that Wallace last year.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about Clayton Kershaw, who is clearly one of the better pitchers in the league. this back injury. Are you worried about this back injury? Because it's now been back-to-back years, no pun intended. But do you expect it to continue to creep up? And if so, does that make you not want to take him first overall as a pitcher?
I was going to say, it's going to be in the back of my mind. So, I mean, we'll just go crazy with the puns here. I still have a hard time having anything but my number one pitcher. It's close with Scherzer. It's very, very close. If someone wants to take Scherzer ahead of Kershaw, I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to have anything to say. I'd like to hope the back issues are behind him. I mean, even while dealing with the back issues last year, still went pitched 175 innings and struck out 202 batters and picked up 18 wins. The ratios are unbelievable. His 16% home run to fly ball rate should improve this year from last year, so maybe he gets even better. I mean, if I'm perfectly fine expecting 175 innings from Kershaw and getting my 200 strikeouts and getting my dynamite ratio. So, I mean, if you have to be, if they're going to be a little bit careful with them, I'm fine with it.
I want them to be careful because they did this last year. They had the pitching to be able to do it. I mean, you have, once your Urias is healthy, they still have Walker Buehler. You know, they have pitchers down in the minors that they could bring up and do a start here or there and keep him healthy. But he still had 200 strikeouts. He still had phenomenal numbers. You just have to understand that there's a very, very good chance that, you know, he may not eclipse those 200 innings that he's capable of doing because of injuries. So, but I still have him as my top overall pitcher, even though it's probably not as well deserved as it should be. And it really isn't deserved because of the injuries. But he does perform when he's there.
Yeah, definitely. You can't dispute that.
What about someone like Alex Wood? I love Alex Wood. He's a guy who gets a strikeout per inning, got a lot of wins last year. He really, really excelled once the Braves traded him. And I think he's someone who's a great number three on a team like this. But what are your thoughts?
I mean, again, it's the issue of he needs to stay healthy. And you can't expect him to stay healthy. You'd like to see him make it through a full season. I mean, 152 innings, 151 Ks, 16 wins, 272 ERA, 1.06 whip. How do you not like any of that? He's 27 years old, so it's not like the guy's old. I think he didn't show me anything last year to really, for me to question his performance, question the results and question him going into this year. But I feel like he doesn't, not that he flies under the radar, but there's not too much buzz about him. And, I mean, the big problem is that he doesn't pitch deep into games. But honestly, who really does anymore?
I mean, we know
Kershaw does, but there's not many that do. So, if I end up with Wood, I'm not going to be complaining about it.
I would never complain if I ended up with Wood.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-da. That's what brings our expletive title to the best. Anyway, I really like Alex Wood. I think that he's going to be a consistent player this year. And, you know, they have the offense to keep getting him a lot of wins. So we'll see what he's able to do. I prefer him over someone like Kenta Maeda this year, personally, just because I'm not sure what Kenta Maeda is going to be able to produce in terms of ERA. Yeah, he could be all over the place in terms of his ERA being high, could be low. But I still think that he's a more consistent and solid presence in that rotation than a Maeda.
And we know Maeda's not pitching deep into games. I mean, the performance is there. Again, he's another one. His ground ball rate dropped last year from 44% to 38%. I have him more as a spot starter, somebody who fell at the back end of your rotation in deeper leagues. He did have a 4.22 ERA, which is a little on the high side, but his whip was only 1.15. Struck out a little more than a batter an inning. He's a solid option, but there is really no upside here.
Yeah, there's not a lot of upside. And, I mean, if you got to Sessa, you got last year maybe a sub-4 ERA, then you're happy with it. But outside of that, I'm not really sure that I want to come anywhere close to that. So we'll see what happens exactly.
Exactly.
Is there any value in someone like a Hyunjin Ryu or a Walker Buehler or a Julio Urias this year? Or is this something that, you know, you'll take them as they come and, you know, you'll take whatever value you get?
I mean, we haven't really seen much from Ryu. I think it's been like 2 years since he's really been healthy.
He still had 126 innings last year compared to Rich Hill's 135. So at least he got innings last year.
That is, and I feel like I don't really even remember him throwing 126 innings last year. So, I mean, and it's not like he was terrible either. You could say he's the left-handed version of Maeda.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 5-9 record, so obviously he got losses. The ERA's not bad, but he had a 137 whip, which is disastrous. And that's, I mean, I understand he's coming back from injury, so I can't expect the whip numbers to be great, but he's not a terrible fifth starter. But do I expect a lot from him? No. Would I grab him late in a draft? Sure, just to see. Because the upside he has could be significantly better than where he's being drafted. The likelihood that you get to see that upside is extremely slim.
Yeah, he's a reserve pick for me in one of my first drops if he doesn't pan out. Exactly. If he's on my team at all.
Yeah. Walker Buehler is someone who I have high expectations on for dynasty leagues and such, but I don't really expect him to really do much this year because, A, if he's going to start, he's not going to be their one of their primary starters, so it's going to be tough for him to get a ton of value. But he's got strikeout upside, but he's got to control the walks, basically, because he had almost a walk per inning. He only had 9 innings last year, but he had 8 walks. So we'll see those come down. And Urias, them training him with kid gloves has just really backfired. There's nothing that makes me think that he's going to have a great year this year. And even if he does, they got to take off those kid gloves and just let him run out there and go full steam ahead. But I don't see those innings piling up, so we'll see exactly what happens. But I would rather hold them in Dynasty and maybe grab them in the keeper, but outside of that, I'm not touching them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Urias is also going to be out like half the year anyway with the shoulder injury, so I mean, maybe he's one of those guys that comes back August, September and provides a little bit of a bump. Buehler, there's a lot to like about him. I think if Ryu fails or if Maeda fails or inevitably one of those guys goes to the DL, Buehler could be the first guy up. But I feel like he's going to be starting somewhere next year, whether it's AAA or in the big leagues with the Dodgers. And, yeah, I agree. There's a lot to like about his skill set.
What about this bullpen? Is there anyone of value outside of Kenley Jansen?
Yeah, I mean, talking about Jansen is really like talking about Kershaw. That it's hard to really come up with enough superlatives. 109 strikeouts in 68 innings last year, 132 ERA. He got his ground ball rate up to 45% last year, maintained the strikeout. So I think Jansen is at his peak. He's the best closer in the big leagues. He's going to get plenty of save opportunities. If he does go down at any point or if there's space for anybody else to get a save. Right now, I'd probably say it's Pedro Baez. Struck out about an inning last year. 133 whip is a little on the high side. And the fact that he had a 4.44 FIP against a 295 ERA. I'm a little concerned about him. If you're a Jansen owner and you want to handcuff him, Baez is probably going to be your guy, but I'm not necessarily sure it's worth the roster spot. Josh Fields is in the same boat as Baez, where he strikes out about an inning, but the FIP was about at least a run higher than the ERA, and there's more questions than answers. They picked up Tom Kohler for the bullpen. Kohler has been absolutely terrible with the Marlins since the start of the past few seasons. The hope is that he's going to make the Brandon Morrow adjustment to that bullpen role. Maybe he's a dark horse to keep an eye out for and hold leagues. But really, it's Jansen and not much else in the way of fantasy value.
Yeah, There's no fantasy value for me. Yes, Pedro Baez, if you're like in a deeper league. Outside that, nah, I'm not really looking to touch anyone. But Jansen is, you know, Jansen. He's a top three closer in any circle you look at. Probably the number one closer in a lot of circles. So I would have no issue taking him. But I also understand I'll never draft him because of the because of where he's going in drafts. So why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reaching what you're working on, Ray?
Alrighty, I am over on Twitter at Ray_Q_28, and I believe the Dodgers was the last of the team preview podcast that we were working on, and then we'll get into our regularly scheduled programming, the Q&A Friends podcast with Ben and Evan Peterson, and I can be found on Friends with Fantasy Benefits and also over at Roto Professor. What about you, Ben?
I can be found on Twitter at BBrennisFWFB. You can find me on the Q&A Friends podcast during the regular season. This is one of my last previews, and you'll also be able to find me twice a week on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits basketball podcast with Eric Mackey. From the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball offseason, everyone.